Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I'm Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Yesterday was my 9-year anniversary in podcasting, and many of you had very kind comments on social media, so I'd like to thank you for that. And thank you for your support over this almost last decade. Really, you all gave me the courage to take this journey, which has been a life-changing one for me and my family, and I really do very much appreciate it. So, in a couple of simple words, thank you. And let's hope that there's a lot more podcasting coming down the pike. That is the plan, at least, if I have my way. Wanted to let you know one other thing. Remember we had that contest about the favorite campfire stories. Well, frankly, I got bogged down with stuff and we weren't following up with that as quickly as we should. But it does turn out that we did have a winner for April. It was Aldo. He told this great story about going to his in-law's house and a ghost visiting itself upon him. And everybody thought that was cool in that one. So we'll be sending out a pack of books to Aldo. And so congratulations. And we have on this current post through August 3rd, we will have a poll for your favorite story during the month of May. And then once we get that May one done, we'll get the poll up for June because we promised we would do this through June. And we certainly want to fulfill our promises and reward these great storytellers. Well, with that, we will turn our attention to the matter at hand, and that is adding some more great campfire stories to the mix, to the collection of the great stories we've had since 2009 on this program. And here they are. It's the campfire. Well, next up is Cheryl from Maryland. She's been listening for a while on TuneIn Radio, that great app for smartphones. By the way, we have our own smartphone app these days, a free one called Jim Harold Central. Everyone might want to check it out. But Cheryl has a story that, in her words, she says, it's a little creepy. And I would agree. So let's hear it. Cheryl, tell us that creepy story. Welcome to the campfire.
Oh, thank you. I'm also a Plus member.
Thank you.
Yes, and I enjoy it. This happened several years ago when I was about 14, 15 years old. We had a relative that had some issues going on, and she had come back home to recuperate. And I was, of course, being 14, 15 years old, living at home with my mom. Mm-hmm. And my mom worked midnights, and so I was used to staying by myself. I never was afraid. We lived in a single family home. Neighbors were pretty far away. So I was never fearful. I had done it for many years. You know, even when I was like 10, 11 years old, I was always by myself. So not a problem. And so when this relative had come back to recuperate from her issues, we had been close as children. So, you know, she was only like 9 years older than me. And so my mom didn't really have a problem that much with her coming over and spending the night. So she had come over and we were just talking and stuff. And it was a winter night. And so she was like, hey, how about if we put some logs in the fireplace? And I was like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So we were just sitting, talking in front of the fireplace. And, of course, being 14, 15 years old, I, of course, had to ask the inappropriate question, well, what happened? Why are you recuperating?
Right.
Because it was never a discussion with my family.
Right, I know. You know, it's funny. I know there's stories that go back in everybody's family. And even as adult, you never get the gist of it because nobody will talk about it.
Yeah, and, you know, I was, like I said, 14, 15 years old. So, of course, I wasn't in the adult conversation. And so she didn't have a problem. She told me that, you know, she had had like a nervous breakdown and she was hearing voices. And so I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. And then she goes, yeah, but I hear little kids all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, little kids laughing and playing. And I was like, wow, that's really weird. So we were talking in front of the fireplace, as I said, and then all of a sudden, what do we hear? Little kids laughing.
Oh.
It's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And it's cold outside.
Right.
And so I was like, well, we have a lot of squirrels. It's probably just squirrels up, you know, getting warm at the fire, at, you know, top of the fireplace. And she's like, no, you heard it, right? You heard it. And I was like, yeah, I did hear something. But, you know, like I said, then it happened again. And it sounded like it was like 4 or 5 little kids playing.
Wow.
And yeah. And so I'm getting chills right now, but I looked out the window and I was like, you know, there was nobody outside, of course. And I was like, you know, well, you know, it's probably the wind or something. It happened again. And this time it went on for more than like a little bit. And I just said, well, you know, I don't know. I said, you know, it's just kind of whatever. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to go to bed. So I was really freaked out, but I knew she had just told me she had a nervous breakdown. So I was like, I didn't want to get too
right.
crazy about it.
Right.
So then it was like a couple of days later, my mom was, you know, it was just me and her in the house. And I had told her what had happened. And she goes, this is the very reason I didn't want her in my house. She's got bad spirits around her. And I was like, what? And she goes, well, you know, let's just leave it at that. And that was it. I mean, she would not go any further with that. And it wasn't until like years later, it was like, you know, it slipped out at a family function that, you know, she had dabbled into like witchcraft and different things like that. And, you know, and I heard it. I mean, it was, you know, but the weirdest thing about it though, was we had 2 dogs.
Right.
And the dogs didn't react at all. I mean, they didn't like perk up or anything. So, you know, was it something that was just suggestive, you know, that, you know, she just said that she heard this and then I heard it. But to hear it more than one time.
Yeah.
It was just really, really creepy.
Yeah, that is really creepy.
But my mom never let us stay in there anymore. It was like, you know, no more.
Well, that's interesting, though. Your mom didn't tell you, oh, you're just imagining things. She said
no.
She has bad spirits around her.
Yep.
So that's
yep.
almost saying, you know, it's not all in her mind. Because well, let's face it, sometimes if people are walking around and they say they hear voices, sometimes people's mind might go to the idea, well, there's something mental going on. And that can be a manifestation of a mental illness, let's be honest. Now, what I'm wondering is, I've got 2 questions. The first question is, you know, they talk about poltergeists.
Uh-huh.
And do you think there's any way that maybe she, I don't know how I'm putting that, but her energy manifested that it wasn't actually a spirit, but something that she manifested? Did you ever think about that?
Well, when I talked to another relative about it, you know, after years after it happened,
right.
That was another thing that they brought up. They didn't use poltergeist, but they said that, you know, that did you think it was something that came from her? And my thought was exactly because I lived in that house for 5 years, you know, up from 9 to 14, 15, whatever age I was at that time, never had a problem, never heard a sound, nothing. But as soon as she was there, this happened. And then afterwards, nothing. I mean, I was never afraid to be in the house, even after this incident.
So it wasn't a house that was haunted. If anything was haunted, it was her.
It was her. And that's exactly what my mom said. You know, it's like that, you know, this is why I didn't want her over here. And it was just a weird thing. And my other family members, nobody really wants her around, but, you know, I mean, it was several years ago now, but it was just something that was just really creepy. And it was so funny because nobody in my family was like, oh, you're just imagining it. It was, everybody
right.
was like, they put it on her.
Right. Now, here's the other thing I was going to ask you. Do you think that it was something, even if it came from her, do you think it's something that existed outside of her? Or do you think it was something she was kind of transmitting to you telepathically somehow?
Well, like I said, our animals, you know, we had two dogs. They didn't react at
right,
all.
Right, that's why I asked that. Yeah.
So if there would have been actually something there, but it sounded like it came from the fireplace. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I didn't know about her. Like, I never knew about the witchcraft and all that stuff. And so I don't know. But like I said, I never had another issue in the house. And after she was gone, nothing. I mean, there was nothing other happened in that house. So, you know, was it coming from her? Probably so. Did I imagine it? I don't know, but it was just something that was just super creepy, and I'm just glad that it left with her.
I can't say that I blame you. Well, Cheryl, thank you for sharing your story, and also thank you for your support as a Plus Club member, because people like you make it possible to do all of these programs, including the free ones, so thank you very much. Well, it is a great time to pick up on my Plus Club. You know, the prices are going up in September. For 3.5 years, we've stood and the club has grown. The content has grown exponentially. We're well over 800 episodes. We've got all of those great video webinars, everything that's a part of my Paranormal Plus Club. So we've kept the price the same for 3.5 years, and we have made the executive decision that it is time for people who join after September 1st to have to pay a little bit higher rate, because we are providing more value. Our expenses have gone up over the years, and just kind of the reality of life. You know, as you add things and add new features to a car, you pay more for a car, and we're doing that with the Plus Club. A lot of good news, though. Number one, people who are currently members, no change. You're grandfathered in as a thank you for your longtime support. We're not going to be increasing those rates. And doubly good news, if you haven't for whatever reason made the plunge yet and given the Plus Club a try, there's still time. Actually, right now, there's kind of a double discount going on because we have our summer sale going on, firstly. And secondly, you beat the price increase, so you save money from two different directions. You really should check it out. You could go over to jimherold.com or jimherold.net. In either place, you'll see at the top of the page a click here, big blue button, and you click on that button and you'll get all the deets. Check it out. It is the Paranormal Plus Club. If you love these shows, there's hundreds of more archived over at the Paranormal Plus Club in terms of the Paranormal Podcast and the Campfire. Plus, we have all of the extra content that we provide, extra shows that you've never heard, never been on the free feed. Plus, all of these great webinars, like the one that we just did with Barry Fitzgerald on Doorways to Ancient Worlds. He's from Ghost Hunters International, and he will be returning in August to do part two of that. And you'll miss it unless you're a member. Go check it out all over at jimherold.net. It's the Paranormal Plus Club. Never a better time to join. Get those summer savings and beat the price increase. Thanks a lot.
Attention iTunes listeners. Your iTunes reviews put Jim's shows in the spotlight. If you enjoy Campfire, the Paranormal Podcast, and the Paranormal Report, please go to iTunes today and rate the shows. Plus, be sure to write a 2 or 3 sentence blurb on why they are the best paranormal podcasts on the planet. Thanks for your help in spreading the word. Jim appreciates it. And now, back to the show.
Next up is Cleveland. He is from Southern California, and I love that name because that's my hometown, Cleveland, so a great name. He said it was a family name. And he's going to tell us about a message that he received from a mysterious quarter, and I'll say no more. Cleveland, thank you for tuning in. I know you listen to us, your truck driver out on the road, appreciate it, and appreciate what you and your fellow truckers do, because you really do power the economy of the nation. So thank you for doing that. I know that's not an easy job. And thank you for submitting your story. Tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be on. Thanks for having me. Kind of a quick story. I graduated high school. I went out to, I moved out to Florida for about a year to 2 years. So when I came back here, I believe it was the end of 2004 the beginning of 2005. So I moved back in with my parents just for the time being until I, you know, could find a job and get back on my feet. And so I'm doing a lot of late night job searching, resumes, applications, and all that online. And I look at the clock, and it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So I decide, you know, I need to pick it up tomorrow. I lay down to go to sleep, put my head on the pillow, turn my light off. My mom, she works at the hospital, so she actually would come in. I could see her moving around the house, you know, turning on the lights and stuff through my door.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was her, I laid down, and I wasn't asleep yet, so I'm for sure was not dreaming or anything like that. But I laid down, and my bedroom door opened up, and through that, I just saw a light and a silhouette, and the silhouette looked like my mother.
Oh, my.
And, yeah. And so I'm just thinking, she's getting ready to go to work, and she just needs to tell me something. And it was so weird, because it was her voice, and she said, "Cleveland, when you get up, don't forget to do something, something, something."
Right.
And me, I'm just like, "Okay, Mom, I'll do that when I get up." And she closed the door, the light in the hall went off, and that was it. So a few hours later, when I wake up, I remember her telling me to do something. So I jump on the phone, I called her at work, and I said, "Hey, Mom, I know you told me to do something this morning, but I couldn't remember what you asked me to do." And she told me that she had never gone to that side of the house that morning. So I told her I was a little upset, because I was like, "No, Mom, you told me to do something. I just can't remember what you told me to do." And she started getting a little irritated with me over the phone. She's like, "Cleveland, I'm at work. I can't talk to you about this right now. I'll talk to you when I get home." So I hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what's going on at all. But just a little weird side thing that happened is, when I got home, I had put up a bunch of Polaroids on a frame, just of like my friends and stuff in Florida. Right. And when I got up, I'm trying to figure it all out. All of my Polaroids were flipped backwards.
Ooh.
There's about 5 of them that were flipped backwards on my little mantelpiece.
Yeah. And, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, you know, we've had more than one story like this where a mom or a dad have been seen and that person couldn't possibly be there. They were at work. I had, I think this is quite a while ago, we had a young girl who's her doppelganger got in an argument with her mother. And I'd never really heard of a lot of this thing. I mean, I heard about the concept of doppelgangers, but I just thought it was some kind of concept you read about in the book. But real people experience this. And we've actually had quite a few of these, Cleveland. I don't know if you've ever heard of anybody else having these, but we've had quite a few of these stories on the show. So you're not the only one.
I'm seeing one person that, hearing one, I think it was a gentleman who said he ran out of the house and his dad was supposed to take him to work or something.
Yep.
Like that, I remember.
Yep.
And it was just weird, because I never saw her face. I just saw, you know, kind of a silhouette, and it looked like her. It sounded like her. And the biggest thing that I always wonder is, you know, what did they tell me to do? Would that have made some kind of significant difference in life, or something would have happened that day? Did that keep me from doing something, you know? So it's just one of those weird things, Jim, where I can't explain it. So that's my little story.
Well, I like it. I like it. It's a great story. Thank you so much, Cleveland, for joining us. Stay safe on the road. Keep on trucking and keep on listening.
Will do, Jim. Thank you so much.
Well, next up on the program is Jeannie. Now, she's from Los Angeles now, but she just wants y'all to know that she is a Chicago girl, born and bred, and she's always going to be that way, even though she's in L.A. now. She's been listening for about a year, and she has a story. I believe this goes back about 10 years, and looking forward to hearing it. Jeannie, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us, and tell us what happened.
Thank you. Well, yes, you're correct. The experience happened about 10 years ago. And I'm going to just give a little bit of the pre-story to set it up. I wasn't feeling well at all, hadn't been feeling well for some months, for a number of months. And I knew that I needed to get to the doctor and had had a history, I'll just leave it at that,
okay.
Be it just with some issues that I had previously, and then family history. Mm-hmm. And so I got myself into the doctor, and when my doctor saw me, she thought, well, you don't look good. Let's find out what's going on. And so she did a general exam, and then she did a deeper dive with, you know, more tests and with an ultrasound. And when she did the ultrasound, she said that she found a solid black mass, and it made her feel really uneasy, and she couldn't figure out what it was, and she just knew that she needed to get it out as soon as humanly possible. And sure. I am a procrastinator, always have been, and so I said, oh, okay, well then, you know, a month or so, 2 months. And she's like, no, you don't understand, we need to get this out immediately, meaning this week. And I'm like, oh wow. And that made me feel quite uneasy, because I'm thinking, like, so this is pretty serious. So I agreed. I drove home, and I could have looped my husband in over maybe before I drove home, or maybe on the drive home. And when I got home, he had fixed my favorite meal, and I remember, you know, eating it, trying to eat it, didn't really enjoy it, and just pretty much went to bed early. I'm a night owl, so for me to go to bed early, I was really kind of bogged down with stuff. So I went to bed, but I remember falling asleep but not having a restful sleep. Mm-hmm. With all that being said, I eventually woke up. It was like about 5, because it was still dark outside, but you could tell that, you know, day was just starting to break.
Right.
And when I woke up, it wasn't like, you know, you just wake up because your body has had enough rest. It was like something startled me awake. I can't describe it in any other way than, you know, I felt the presence of something. So I looked over, I sleep on the left, my husband sleeps on the right, and I looked over to my left because I was just drawn to my left, and I saw a figure. And it was a, you know, it was shaped it would be in the shape of a person, but it wasn't any distinguishing features. I want to make sure I stress that you couldn't make out a face, you couldn't see anything other than like what would have been like a smoky human-like shape.
Okay.
It was transparent, and it started to form more and more and became darker and darker. So it went from being kind of like a smoky gray to being almost like a dark, dark charcoal color to being black. And it scared the life out of me.
Sure.
It really, 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 really rattled me. And I remember I could feel myself shaking, and I could feel myself shaking so much that I thought I would wake my husband up, but he was still sleeping. So I remember kind of like closing my eyes, thinking like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to open them, and then I'm not going to see what I see in front of me. And I did. And I guess when I closed my eyes, maybe I leaned over to the right, trying to maybe, you know, be braced by my husband. And I recall when I opened my eyes back up, the figure said, turn over on your back so that I can work on your stomach. And once again, you know, I couldn't make out any facial features. I couldn't make out anything that was distinguishing. And so therefore I knew the figure wasn't talking to me per se. It was as if we were having a mental conversation. And I could
right, telepathic.
Figure, exactly, telepathic, yes. So I did not want to move, and I don't call moving voluntarily, but I certainly did somehow end up on my back. And I think my eyes were still closed. And when I opened my eyes again, because I was still terrified and still shaking, I remember seeing the figure, and the figure's arms were completely pointed outward over me. And I remember they were at a completely perfect 90-degree angle. And then the hands, what would be the hands of the figure, were pointed down as well, a perfectly 90-degree angle. And I don't know why I made note of that, but it caught me. And then the weird thing is it just started to move its arms up and down, one after the other. And from that point, I don't know if how much time passed. And all I can say is that I know some time passed, because when I opened my eyes up, the sun was, you know, up and shining into the windows, but I still saw it moving its arms up and down, at which point I mustered up enough courage, and I turned over to my husband. I said, honey, wake up. There's something on my side of the bed. And the thing with my husband, it isn't that he doesn't believe, but he just prefers not to prescribe to it at all.
Right.
So he, you know, if I listen to anything that has to do with the paranormal subject matter or watch anything, he's like, that's you. That's what you enjoy. No worries. Don't involve me.
So he's not a fan of the podcast.
Unfortunately not.
That's okay.
But I have converted my sister.
Oh, good work. Good work.
Yes. And so I remember saying, don't you see what I see? And he didn't dismiss it. And it's like he said no, but the way he said no made me think that he did see something. And I think because he just prefers not to prescribe to it, it's just easier for him just to say no, because then somehow he can reconcile it in his mind
right. And
to say, yeah, I saw what you saw. And the story ends up with a happy ending, because I did have surgery and everything turned out to be okay. My doctor said it was just a false alarm, that, you know, no worries. So I would like to say maybe I, you know, whatever I saw, you know, it did save my life. I'm an optimist.
Right.
So I always like to think of the, you know, the upside. So that's my story.
Now, do you think maybe it's a loved one who passed? Do you have any idea who or what it might have been?
No, I don't. I really don't. And that's the thing that troubled me the most, is that I would like to think that if it were a loved one, that I wouldn't have been so frightened. I was so completely frightened by it. And I would have thought that it would have maybe taken on, you know, more of a shape than I, or more of an appearance that
right.
was recognizable, and
right.
it wasn't the case at all. And I think with it being so, it was such a dark, looming figure, and usually when you think dark and looming, you think something that's negative, but considering that it said, let me, you know, work on your stomach, that's not negative, that's not dark, you know, that's not dark at all, that's not bad. So,
yeah. It's a great story, and the most important thing, you're doing well. We're so glad to hear it. And we're so glad you found the program. I thank you so much, Jeannie, for listening, telling your sister about the show, and also sharing your story with us tonight.
Oh, sure thing. Anytime. I have another two or three, and I will share those in the future.
Next up on the campfire is Dean. Now, campfire, it's ironic. He told me they started listening about 3 weeks ago. He was out camping by himself, and he said he foolishly downloaded the campfire and freaked himself out, but we're so glad we aim to please, Dean. Thank you for joining us from Pennsylvania. I have a couple of great stories tonight, and please tell us what happened.
I guess it was maybe about 15 years ago, I suppose. I was living in Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm totally in love with urban legends and just, you know, the origins of these things. And my girlfriend at the time was telling me about this place called Zombieland. And apparently Youngstown used to be a hub for mafia activity because
it
was right between New York and Chicago. And there's all kinds of wild stories. And apparently the guys would dump bodies into this like kind of like a marshy area. It wasn't really developed, but there was a road through it. And my girlfriend was telling me about this. We were going to her dad's, who kind of lived out that way. And we had to pass this area in between. So I'm like, well, let's just go through it. You know, you've been telling me about this. And she was like, sure, you can go through it. And it was nighttime. It was, I want to say it was spring. So it was pretty humid. And so everything was kind of foggy, and it was always, you know, spooky around there anyway. So we go into this little area, and it was maybe about a mile long. And you turn down this country road, you go around this bend, and you go, it's very foresty.
Right.
And then you turn another corner, and it started getting eerie. And then I saw this, you know, this red house. I'm like, okay, who would live out here? That's freaking crazy. So we go past it, and we turn this bend, and it was just the craziest feeling. It was almost like, you know, that feeling when you feel like you're being watched. But it was like, it felt like we were about being followed. And I didn't audibly hear a scream, but it was like I could hear it in my head. And it just kept on getting louder and louder. And I was like, you need to get out of here. Please go faster. Just do whatever. And she couldn't go that fast because there was no shoulders. And if you went off the road, you were going into this marsh here, and you probably weren't going to get out easily anyway. So she went as fast as she could. And we got out of this area. And we got maybe about 2 miles away, and it started, you know, the anxiety kind of went down a little bit, and it didn't feel so spooky. And she's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, that was crazy. You know, I was prepared for just, you know, a creepy area. There wasn't going to be anything going on. But she was like, "Yeah, you kind of freaked out a little bit," and made fun of me a little bit. But we get to her dad's house, and, you know, he had heard all the stories about this zombie land and it being haunted and whatever. And she was like, "Yeah, we rounded the corner and everything was fine." I'm like, "Yeah, till we get to that like red house, and that things just got crazy." And she was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "The red house, like when you first get past the first set of trees, it was like on the right hand side. It was back a little bit, but it was obviously abandoned. It was kind of boarded up a little bit." And she was like, "There wasn't any house." And her dad just kind of looked at me and he was like, What exactly did the house look like?" And I was like, "Well, it was like a Cape Cod. It was reddish in color, but it was obviously not in use anymore because there was boards on the windows and like the lattice underneath the front porch was torn down." And he was like, "Oh, that's kind of crazy because that house hasn't been there for like 30 years because his dad owned the house and the property next to it. So he was around there all the time and he knew." I was like, "All right, well, that's a little freaky." And, you know, I got to rub it in my girlfriend's face because obviously that's not something I could cook up. I wasn't from there. I'm from Pittsburgh originally, and I had gone there to go to school.
Right.
So we were on our way back to our house from her dad's house. And obviously we didn't go back that way. We were just driving along and we'd stopped at a stop sign, and it was like the weirdest feeling. I got these images popped into my head, but it wasn't like a crisp image. It was like this amalgamation of things. And I'm like, "I don't know why I need to tell you this, but I do. Do you know somebody, kind of like long reddish hair? It's wild, but it's kept up, and he's kind of got the same like red beard." And she just kind of looks at me. She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "And there's like something with his leg and wood. That's all I got for you. Legs and wood." And she's like, "Well, his leg, my stepdad's leg was pinned between two cars. And at that point in time, they couldn't really fix it because he couldn't afford for them to fix it. So he had this like wooden insert in his shoe."
Mm.
Okay. Well, this just popped into my head, and I guess that was for you. I don't know. I feel like Miss Cleo right now because... "All right, fine." And she was like, "Yeah, that's my stepdad." And I didn't know anything about him because at the time we'd only been dating for maybe 3 or 4 months. And all of the pictures that she had of him had burned up in a fire that her family had when she was young.
Oh, my.
So I didn't know anything about this guy, and I certainly didn't see any pictures. So maybe about 10 minutes or so down the line, another thing popped into my head. And I said, "All right, well, now I have this like this image of this guy, and there's something wrong with his throat." And she just kind of looked at me weird again. And I'm like, "Well, any takers? Because I don't know this dude." She's like, "Something wrong with his throat." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's like he had pain in his throat, and it lasted for a while. And it turned out to be it was her grandfather who died on the same day as her stepdad, Rusty."
Hmm.
And I'm like, "Okay." And she's like, "He had a trach tube in his throat for the last 2 years of his life." And I'm like, "Awesome. So how long is this going to keep going on? Because it's kind of freaking me out." And ever since then, it was like that experience had done something, and it was like these experiences became more and more frequent throughout, until now. And it was just crazy.
Well, a couple of great experiences, great stories. I love them. I know you've got another fantastic story that you're going to be telling us on a future show. And Dean, we thank you so much for joining us on the campfire tonight.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Before we get back to the great campfire stories, I'm going to share a word about the Paradigm Symposium. I'll be there in October, and I hope that you'll join me. Here's the info.
Many philosophies and worldviews have a set of classical elements believed to reflect the simplest, essential parts and fundamental principles of which anything consists. Written and spoken word are the basic elements utilized by humanity throughout the ages to stimulate thought, ideas, interpretation, perception, expression, and advance. On October 2nd through the 5th of this year, Intrepid Magazine presents the Paradigm Symposium, focusing on science, politics, metaphysics, ufology, alternative history, and ancient mysteries, held at the historic Women's Club of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Graham Hancock, Eric Von Daniken, Andrew Collins, Robert Bovall, Barry Fitzgerald, Laird Scranton, John Anthony West, and several others, along with panel discussions, the Magus Books Mysteries Room, gallery readings, and a paranormal investigation of the site. The Paradigm Symposium stage brings you the most eclectic cadre of esoteric thinkers in their fields today. Get your tickets now by visiting ParadigmSymposium.com or calling us directly at 651-468-8115. The Paradigm Symposium. Come and enjoy, learn and experience, think and be inspired.
Would you like to help support Jim's free shows and shop from Earth's biggest selection? Just go over to jimharrell.com and shop via Jim's Amazon links. It really helps, and best of all, you don't pay a penny more. Keep the free shows going and shop from the best online retailer in the universe. Thanks for your help in advance. Now, back to the show.
Lynn from Pennsylvania joins us. She has a very interesting story. She says she feels like she's been listening to me forever. I'm assuming that's a good thing. No, I know she meant it in a very nice way. A nice person. Lynn is on the line and she has a story to share. Lynn, thank you for joining us and tell us what happened. This was about something that was in a home that you you had lived in, and it's an interesting story.
Yes, I lived in a house that was built in about 1921, and my partner and I had lived there quite a few years, and we had bought the house. It had been owned by a family and passed down through the various members of the family as they had died until the point where the final one died and the kids remaining were living in New York and didn't want to come deal with it. So we bought the house, and the guy's tools and all those things were in the basement still. He was an engineer. So as time went on and things would happen in a house, we would find stuff like one time there was a leak and he had put chewing gum on the pipe for the leak. And so we would sort of tease about him. His name was Mr. Bell. And we would sort of joke around about, you know, what Mr. Bell had done. At one point, eventually, my partner had a heart attack and died.
Oh.
And it was just terrible. But we had been 25 years together, and so I was, of course, devastated. Normally, I would come home from work. I worked Saturdays. She didn't. I would come home and be tired, and I'd lay down on the couch and take a nap while she was watching TV or something. And she would walk by and just sort of pat me on the head, you know,
right.
And like affectionately.
Sure.
So after she was gone, I came home. I'm laying on the couch, tired. I'm trying to fall asleep, and I feel the pat on my head, and I say, "Oh, Chris." Her name was Chris, and it's like, "Oh, Chris," you know. And I looked up, and I saw an arm, but it was a man's arm. And as I looked further up, I saw a man standing there.
Oh my!
Just sort of disappeared afterwards, and my assumption was that it was Mr. Bell.
Well, that was exactly what I was going to ask you. Was maybe Mr. Bell trying to comfort you?
Yeah, that's really what I thought it must be. I don't know if it was with him, but it certainly was someone I had never seen before, so I'm assuming it was him.
Now, I know you also, about your cabin. In fact, folks, we've gotten disconnected a couple times here, so something strange is going on. But we're fighting through it. We're persevering. But you also, I know you have some stories about your cabin that may have activity. Would you like to share one with us?
Sure. The cabin was built in 1691, so it's really filled with a lot of things. And I don't know, when I first moved in here, every night when I would go to bed, I was in a loft, and the stairs came up basically through a hole in the floor, and there was a big trap door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a light that was on a dimmer at the top so that, you know, we wouldn't fall through the floor, basically, if we got up in the middle of the night.
Right.
And every night when I would go to bed, that light would flash once. And I would say, good night, and then go to sleep.
It was almost like, and 1600s, I mean, that's very early for America. You know, we talk to people in Europe and things are 500-600 years old, no big deal. But here, you know, that's really going back.
Right, right. This was part of an estate, and this was the place where the indentured servants lived.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah, it has, you know, big beams in the walls. It's a beautiful house, but really interesting.
Well,
yeah, it does things like, you know, doors shut on their own, and we're always hearing people walking around upstairs and a lot of strange electrical things. But it's a very warm feeling house. It's not a scary house.
Well, I got to tell you, it is interesting story, interesting place, and an interesting person. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today on The Campfire.
Ah, thank you, Jim. I love your shows.
Aaron is on the line from the U.S. He's been listening for about a year, and he has a story about while he was staying in his aunt and uncle's farmhouse. I won't spoil it. I'll let him tell you the spooky story. Aaron, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I was a college student. This would have been in the mid-90s. I was probably a junior in college, and I went down to southeastern Missouri. We had a wedding to attend, and I was staying with my aunt and uncle, and they had recently bought a piece of property that had an old farmhouse on it, and they had renovated the farmhouse, and were now living in there full-time, and so I was staying in their guest bedroom. This
okay.
was the first time I'd been there. They hadn't lived in the house for too terribly long, so it was kind of new to all of us, I guess. Anyway, I was spending the night there. I had gone to sleep. And I have this this habit of sticking my arms up above my head while I'm sleeping. And when I do that, I snore.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular night, I was asleep, had my arms up over my head, and I woke myself up snoring. And I was one of those snorts where, you know, you kind of
right.
startle yourself. So I did that, and I put my arms down to my sides and kind of eased myself to go back to sleep. But as soon as I put my arms down, I felt hands grab my forearms.
Ooh.
And it was one of those, it felt completely real. I could feel the thumb on the insides of my forearm. I could feel the four fingers wrapping around the outsides. And it gripped both arms and pushed into the bed and held me there. And as soon as that happened, I've got my eyes open. You know, I just immediately opened my eyes wide up, like, what the heck's going on? And at the same time, I hear a voice, and it's at the, as I'm laying in the bed, it would be on my right side, speaking into my right ear, directly
right.
into my ear. And it's this gravelly, low, deep voice, and it's speaking in a language that I've never heard before.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a foreign language like Spanish or German,
right?
Anything like that. It's not a language I'm familiar with at all. But the tone of the voice and the way it's speaking, whatever it is it's speaking, it's very obvious to me that it's saying horrible things, evil things. Once again, I have no idea what it is that it's saying. It's just, you know, it's that tone. If somebody cusses you out in a foreign language, you kind of know what they're doing, you know. So it's speaking this strange language into my ear, and I've got my eyes open, and I'm staring at the door. Across the hall is where my aunt and uncle are asleep, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got to get them in here to help me out.
Right.
And so I'm just staring at the door, and I'm trying to scream because I can't get up. I'm pressed into the bed, and I've got this voice talking to me. and I'm so scared that it's like my lungs have seized up, you know. And I try three times to yell help, and each time I kind of gather a little bit more strength, and it comes out just a little bit louder. And then finally, that third or fourth time is a full on help that I yell out. And as soon as I do that, it's gone. Pressure's gone off my arms. The voice is gone. It's just me in there in the bedroom. Didn't wake my aunt and uncle up, so nobody came in. But I was suddenly free, and I was able to, you know, sit up and kind of look around and evaluate what was going on. I don't have an explanation for what happened to me. It was just very unsettling.
And had others had similar experiences at all?
Not that I'm aware of. I never said anything to my aunt and uncle. You know, I was a young man at the time, and, you know, they were in their, I guess, late 40s, early 50s, and, you know, one of those deals where, yeah, it was crazy college kid.
Yeah, they're not going to take you seriously, yeah.
Exactly. So I never said anything to them. I did talk to my cousin, their son, about it. I mentioned it to him, but he was also away at college, so he had never lived in this house, so he wasn't really much help. You know, he believed that what I told him happened, but he didn't have any experience with it.
And your general sense is that this wasn't just a dream, this was real.
Right. You know, I've thought about, well, you know, maybe this was one of those cases of sleep paralysis, and, you know, I'm hallucinating and I can't move because, you know, of that. But the thing that makes me believe that's not the case is I had taken my arms down from my head, so I obviously wasn't paralyzed, you know. I'd just moved my body, and as soon as I laid my arms on the bed, I felt these hands grab them. So I really don't think I was asleep at that point, and plus my eyes were open the entire time, and I was able to, you know, move my eyes around the room, and you know, I was just focused on that door, praying that, you know, my uncle would come in and help me. And you know, once the pressure was released and everything, I was still wide awake. My eyes were still open, but I could suddenly move.
Were you able to sleep in there after this?
You know, the funny thing was that I didn't believe I was going to go back to sleep that night, and it took a long time for me to fall back to sleep. But I, you know, I'm kind of a religious person, and so I just immediately started praying, and you know, the fear that I felt kind of eased, and I drifted off to sleep while, you know, in the midst of prayer, and woke up the next morning. Everything was normal. Nothing else was strange or odd. And I don't know. It's really weird. I've thought about going to a hypnotist to see if they can hypnotize me and get me to repeat what I was hearing.
Right.
So that I can kind of figure out what it was, what language it was, what it was saying. But I just got this very deep sense of evil, and this thing was just saying the most hateful things to me that you can imagine.
Wow. That's spooky. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for sharing it with us. I'm glad that you haven't encountered that whatever it was entity again. And it's good that you have your faith and able to soldier on. And I do believe there are maybe things out there that don't wish us the best. And it sounds like you may have encountered one of them.
Yeah, thankfully I haven't seen it again or felt it again since. So.
Thanks again, Aaron. Joe is on the line, a fellow Ohioan. Now, we've spoken with Joe before. He's been on the program, and he has a couple of UFO stories to share with us. And I'll tell you, I love the fact that we have some UFO stories, because most of the time we get a lot of ghosts and shadow people. And once in a while, there's nothing like more fascinating than a good UFO story. So Joe has a couple. Joe, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Well, I have a couple of them there. I mean, they're not very long at all.
That's all right.
But, the first one was me, my cousin, and his girlfriend had come out seeing a late movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was probably maybe 12:30 or 1. I mean, it was a really late movie. But there's a minor league baseball stadium by this movie theater. And when we walked out of the movie theater, it was me him and her, we were the only people that seemed to notice it. It was this huge, glowing, kind of pulsing gold light, and it looked like it was over the stadium.
Huh.
And this was around, too, when, I think it was around when, like, New York and the whole, that whole side of the country was about to get hit by, like, that huge hurricane or tropical storm.
Right.
I'm not sure which one it was, but, you know, I always watch a lot of UFO shows and follow all that type of stuff, so they had, they always say, like, there's sightings before a huge natural disaster.
I've heard that before.
But, it was, I mean, it was pretty big size looking over the field. I mean, we were pretty far away, but, I mean, the strange thing was, too, is that it was only the three of us that seemed to see it. Like, no one else was paying any attention to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And, my cousin got in his car and him and his girlfriend left, and I sat in my car and actually watch it, and it pulsed from like a really bright into almost nothing until it was just completely gone.
And that's a weird feeling. You know, I had not that dramatic, but I remember one time, and I've mentioned this on the show before, I'm in Ohio too, and we were driving on a main road in a Cleveland suburb. And we saw like a green fireball, and it was about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and it was like coming down. And I don't think it was aliens or anything like that. I think it was space junk or a meteorite or something like that. And we were listening to the radio, and it was a talk radio station, and somebody called in and said, "Hey, I'm seeing this thing in the sky." And the host just blew him off and laughed at him, say, "I have another drink, buddy. It's Friday," or whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, but my point is, it's a weird feeling when you feel like you're the only one that's seen something and nobody's going like, "Hey, look at, you know," you feel kind of like, but didn't anybody else see that? Or, you know, you feel like, where are the news crews? You know, I mean, I don't know if you had that feeling, but I kind of did.
Oh. Yeah, that was, I mean, that was a weird thing that it was only the three of us that noticed it. And I mean, I was looking around to see if anyone else had was pointing at it or looking up. I mean, that was the first thing I noticed as soon as we walked out of the doors. I looked up and was like, "Oh my God, what is that?"
Now, you had another story.
Yeah, the second one, actually, I'm not exactly sure what it was. I even caught it on video on my phone. I snuck it up on my YouTube. I think I put the link in the...
Yeah, you did. And we'll probably post that at the page of this episode of Campfire. So folks, if you want to listen to the show and then see Joe's video, if it's with your permission, Joe, we'll link to it. We'll link to it in the show notes. But tell us what happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was on my way home late again from my cousin's house, and it was above where they were building a new high school. They just knocked down the old one, so the old one was basically just a big parking lot. And this is actually right around the block from where I live. And I pulled over, and you can't really tell in the video. They look just like real tiny lights. But when I was recording them to what I saw, they almost looked like three giant red fireballs.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't any sound. And in the video, the only sound you can hear is I turned my emergency lights on in case anyone was going to go around me, or, you know, that way they knew I wasn't moving. And I just sat there and recorded it, and they were, almost three of them looked like they were moving together, and then they stopped, and two of them moved into the center one, or to the one that was on the far left, and then they both just disappeared.
Hmm.
And then that one just kind of kept moving on a little bit, and that was where I cut the video like a minute or so long. But yeah, they were real bright red, like from my eyes, but you can't really tell that from the video.
So you didn't feel like it was a conventional aircraft or anything like that?
No, at first I almost thought it was those those lanterns that people...
Yeah, Chinese lanterns,
But I don't know if maybe it was just too far away or what, but they looked like at first they were all moving together, and then after I started recording them, that the one on the left stopped, and then the other two moved towards that one, and then they both eventually ended up disappearing, and it was just one light.
Well, it is interesting, and we'll look forward to watching that video, and folks can decide for themselves. Joe, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire with your UFO stories.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me on The Campfire. Hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I hope that you will contribute your story. All you have to do is go over to jimherold.com/campfire. That's jimherold.com/campfire and sign up and we'll call you at the appointed time and you will share your campfire story with our listeners. And they're all very kind and very supportive. Many people who have called in over the years say, Jim, I've been nervous about doing this, and you know what? I feel great after I did it. I'm glad that I did. I hope you will, too. Go over to jimherold.com/campfire. I thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.